Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk. Welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday. Wherever you get your podcast, be sure to subscribe so you do not miss an episode. And check it out. As I tell you guys each and every week, the shows that you hear here on the podcast, all the interviews you hear on the podcast, they originated on my Sirius XM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation. And that is heard live Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on channel 103 Faction Talk, or anytime at all on the Sirius XM app. If you listen to only this podcast and you're in the US or Canada, you're only getting a tiny, tiny taste of what I do on the radio on a daily basis, live, interactive talk, news, and interviews. So come on board and join me for Trunk Nation again, Monday through Friday, Sirius XM channel 103, live 3 to 5 Eastern, or anytime on the Sirius XM app. Good to have you all here, and let's see, what do I have for you? Well, if you're in Houston this coming weekend, I hope you join me at Rise Rooftop. Saturday night, I'll be there for Stephen Piercy and Slaughter. Sunday, free event for the Super Bowl with live music before and after the show. Hope to see you this weekend if in Houston. Also coming up, back in Texas in mid-March, the 16th of March, doing my next speaking Q&A show, and that'll be happening at the Guitar Sanctuary in McKinney, Texas. Always have a great time doing those there. And this time around, Mike Portnoy, Billy Sheehan, and Richie Kotzen, the Winery Dogs, will be joining me for an interview during my speaking show. So come on out and see the guys and see me, Guitar Sanctuary, McKinney, Texas, just outside of Dallas on March 16th. Then the next night, March 17th, I will be hosting the Winery Dogs performance, which is happening at Amplified Live in Dallas. Never been to that venue. Looking forward to being there. That is March 17th. And finally, on March 19th, you can catch me hosting the Winery Dogs in Houston at Warehouse Live. Also have a speaking show in Tuckerton, New Jersey in April. A lot of stuff coming up. Stuff in Illinois, stuff in Detroit. Check out the homepage of EddieTrunk.com for all of my upcoming appearances, and hope to see you out and about. And be sure to follow me on social media at EddieTrunk, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook page. On the podcast this week is a show that I did back in November that aired live, like everything, on Sirius XM. And from time to time, I do what I call a Canadian roundtable. And my good friends Brent Fitz and Todd Kearns, who play bass in Slash's band, The Conspirators, also live in Vegas, where I live part-time. And they come over to my Vegas studio from time to time, and we do these shows where we do nothing but celebrate Canadian music. even the obscure bands that people don't really know about much in the U.S. And there's so much fun. And over the times that we've done this, we've had different people like Sebastian Bach and others sit in as the third mic on this show, the only criteria being they have to be Canadian. I am not Canadian, but I defer to them, of course, on all the bands. So this time around, Jason Hook was the third Canadian. Jason is best known for being in Five Finger Death Punch and a bunch of other different bands as well. And he was great, as well as Fitz and Kearns. And for the first time, I want to bring you that conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And it'll give you a real taste of what goes on live on the radio as well, if you're not already listening on Sirius XM. So without further ado, a Canadian Spotlight Roundtable. Brent Fitz, Todd Kearns, who also have the band Tuke together, and Jason Hook. A lot of fun breaking down Canadian bands. Have a listen on this edition of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. All right, there's way too many Canadians in this room trying to navigate this. This is, well, two you know very well because they are, as I was saying earlier, they're the anchors when I do this special. To my left, my immediate left, Mr. Todd Dammit Kearns.
Hello, Ed.
Good to see you, sir.
Thanks for having us.
I'm here in Vegas for like a week. This is the first time I'm seeing you.
I know. I only see you when we're working together.
You're way too busy.
I know.
Way too multitasking for me these days.
Yeah.
Throne is worse.
Throne's worse. Throne's not even here.
Throne, yeah. I come a month. I don't see him.
You don't see
he's
him.
He's like, we make a lot. I'm sorry. I can't. I got, you know. He's way too important for me right now.
Important.
I get that it's not special when I come to Vegas anymore that I got a place, so I get it. It used to be, oh, Eddie's in town, we gotta
see him now.
Now it's like, Jesus Christ, he's here again. So I get all that, but Throne is like, he's big time in everybody now. He's way too important.
You gotta make the meet and greet.
Yeah, exactly. We gotta schedule time with Throne. And of course, well, he did make time for me last night. We had a wonderful dinner at the always awesome Bootlegger. Mr. Brent Fitz is here. Good to see you.
Yeah, I took my shoes off like a good Canadian in your industry.
I do too.
You don't have to take your shoes off in here. Trust me.
We do.
I've had this place a year and a half, and a lot of stuff has gone on this carpet already.
But Scotty,
Scotty Ludwig is here. You imagine what's gone on. So anyway, Fitz and Kearns, as you guys know, are good friends and also great musicians, and you know them best playing in Slash's band, and they all do other stuff beyond that, but also they have a band together called Tuke, which celebrates Canadian rock music. You are rocking a Tuke crew jacket.
I know,
Fitz.
He's got the crew
full
jacket.
Pander.
Where did you get that? Is impressive.
Dude, pretty dope, huh?
Are those for sale?
Not officially yet, but they probably will be,
We should make those,
One that he's wearing right there, $500 right now.
I'm a 2X. I'll give you $50. But it's very so for those that are, we have new listeners coming on board all the time. Tuke is a band that started out to celebrate and cover Canadian rock classics, but now is actually making original music as well, right?
Yeah. As will happen when you get together like that,
Recently added to the Monsters of Rock Cruise.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
With that drunk.
Yeah. That came from being asked to play on the Monsters on the Mountain. Gig, and apparently we were well liked, and so they asked us to be on the cruise next. So,
and I
which you host, so
And I just missed you at the Mountain because this past year I could only do one day, so we didn't see each other there. But I heard it went great.
It was awesome.
Now you're on the cruise, which is just going to be a blast. I mean, it's just crazy fun that we have on that thing. So.
I bet. Who else is on it? Tesla's headlining.
Tesla headlines every other year, and
that's
their
exciting
year. So they're, but it's literally like 50 bands.
Yeah,
it's mayhem. It's a lot. It's crazy, but it's fun. It really is. And now we welcome our newcomer. We've got fresh Canadian meat here.
Virgin blood.
We've rotated in some different people in this slot, so there's a lot of pressure on you to hold the slot, Jason.
Okay.
But we welcome Jason Hook. Good to see you, man.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
I'm good. And you have a lot of stuff going on. You are working on a new project, right?
Oh, yeah. Very excited.
And how's it coming?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Awesome. Yep. I mean, it took a long time to put the lineup together, you know, because I was very specific about members and what I was looking for. But the band is complete. The record should be out early 2023.
Nice. All right. No more details yet, right?
I don't want to overhype or oversell it. I think you know, to quote Aerosmith, I'd prefer to have the music do the talking or let the music.
But you
do
are
the talking.
Playing. You are going to debut a track today for us. That was what happened.
Well, I could have had a sneak peek, but I wasn't thinking that hard. I didn't take my shoes off. I feel like the outsider.
No, you're
Jason's
all right.
The
you're
disrespectful all right. Canadian of the group.
He's been down here a long time. How long have you been in America now?
Oh, I drove down here in 1993.
Okay, wow, that's
you
a long
beat
time.
All of See, us.
Yeah.
To That's, Vegas? You relocated to Vegas?
No, I went from Toronto right to Los Angeles.
So 30 okay. years.
Yeah.
Yeah, like next year.
Yeah, sure. And best thing I ever did.
What was the initial hook to come, no pun intended on your name, what was the hook to come to L.A. from Canada for you? What was the gig?
Were you chased out of town? Be honest.
No. I had a local band up there that got signed to Elektra Records.
That's true.
And it was very exciting, and we made the record in Los Angeles with Bo Hill, mm-hmm. and I sort of got the bug, you know, like...
What was the name of the band?
The band at the time was called No Love Lost.
Did the record come out?
Sort of.
Okay.
I released it under the name Monkey Head.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like heavy metal, 80s, Skid Row kind of edgy type thing. Right,
we're not feeling
so good. Something I would are. Love. Yeah, yeah. Nothing, yeah. Nothing that any of us dislike here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I forgot where I was.
So that's what got you to LA.
Yeah,
is to come for that band.
Well, shortly after we submitted the record, we got dropped.
Okay,
and that was devastating and pretty much killed the band. And at that point, I made the decision that if I want to try to do this again, I've got to be in the right place. And that was L.A., you know. I mean, you can only, nothing against Canada because Canada's great, but I just wanted to put myself in a entertainment hotspot.
Well, it's nothing really against Canada. I mean, you could have been from Des Moines or, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I just knew that if I wanted to take another shot at this, I think it would be better to geographically position
sense, yeah.
myself.
And clearly it worked out.
It worked out.
Yeah.
I am the luckiest Canadian.
Jason, when did you relocate to Vegas?
We came out here during the housing crisis. So we bought the house in 2011. And it was right after I joined Death Punch. And some of the other guys were migrating from their apartments in L.A. to buying houses out here in Vegas. And I started getting on the internet. I was like, oh, my God, these houses are like half price, literally.
Yeah.
And so I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, we're just going to go there and buy whatever we can find. We're just going to buy something because the prices are great.
So it was your time in Five Finger that really was the hook here. The whole band was...
Yeah.
The whole band is obviously based here. Was when you joined Five Finger Death Punch? Was it were they those guys based in L.A.?
Yeah, it was L.A.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, it started
so they
in Los
all
Angeles.
Migrated here because they're all still here now, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Jason and I are neighbors.
Is that right?
That's true. Yes, yeah. We are. We see each other sometimes on the dog walk.
Yeah, just
when the sun's going
out.
Down.
Yeah,
I go. That's Todd right. Kearns coming my way. Hey, Todd.
So, of you three Canadians, who's been here in Vegas the longest? Who came
Fitz.
First?
Brent Fitz.
Fitz.
Fitz been the longest.
What
Fitz,
year
yeah.
you come, Brent?
I came 2003. End yeah. of. And you know what? It started.
He's like the great. He put the space. He put the Canadian flag in the ground.
Yeah, yeah. He really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jason and I were. Were we playing together at the time with Vince Neil?
Probably.
And I came here after the tour? Anyway.
I think so, yeah. You were the first.
There was a lot of... I'm trying to remember, but I ended up just coming at the end of a tour and...
Weren't you with somebody out here?
Oh, I met my lovely wife out here.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So that usually is part of people's stories is, you know...
Right.
Yeah, she was already here. So like yep. Lowry and all those, you know... Red Cup, Jeff, all those people were kind of already here for some reason, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how Canadians kind of... or just people from, I mean, obviously, Eddie, I can't speak for you, but you run into people from New Jersey or New Yorkers and you have that like, hey, man, we're from the same neighborhood. So the Canadians, just like here in Vegas, we, you know, you find out who all is from Canada or whatever. That's
we should
here.
Have a section of town called Little Canada.
Yeah.
Like Little Italy.
But it is, you do migrate, you do kind of run into people in that orbit. Like yeah. I went to watch the Giants game at a bar the other day. Here and I'm sitting there, and this guy comes over, sits next to me. He goes, "You mind if I pull up a chair?" I go, "No." He goes, "You a Giants fan?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, me too." He goes, "I'm from Staten Island." I'm like, "Oh, I'm from Jersey." And next thing you know, the guy's my buddy. You know, yeah, have a slice of pizza. Yeah, yeah. What's going on? So it does. It is how it works. But and you guys, so Kevin, rounding out the Canadian madness of the week, Churko was here yesterday.
Oh,
we did a whole interview.
Right.
We had a great a great chat.
Can't wait.
So he was telling me that we talked about Five Finger, and we talked about him producing the records, and he talked about you. And I think, so did he tell me that he actually got pulled into producing Five Finger through you, Brent Fitz?
That is true.
Who, by the way, he named as his all-time favorite drummer.
Wow.
Kevin Churko.
I paid him well. Well, that's very nice of him. I mean, look, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We're all from, if we all start in Canada and then we end up down here, you know, everyone's kind of paying attention to everyone's career and congratulating, hey, man, you're doing well. So, yes, Jason and I had played in bands together, and I'm already in Vegas, and then you moved out here. Of course, we've been friends a long time.
Yeah.
And I actually reconnected with Todd around that time, and you were more friends with Kevin Churko because you guys grew up in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just all, it's like Vegas is a very kinetic place for a lot of opportunity. So here's Death Punch, you know, establishing yourselves out here. And actually, three-fifths of the Slash band, of course, Frank Sidoris as well, we're all here too. Yeah. So Vegas has a big part of the whole story. But yes, I did, you know, I said my Canadian friend Jason has a great band. He's working on new music. And I was, you know, I thought Kevin would be a good choice. And you know how it is.
Some of the greatest things that have ever happened to me have come as a result of being friends with Brent Fitz. True story.
Wow. Amazing.
True story. He always reaches out to help. And if
I've known him for a long time. Nothing's happened for me.
Oh, you wait, Eddie.
You wait, baby. It's coming.
He gave me an extra garlic knot at the bootlegger last night, but that was about it.
I can bring him a coffee machine. That's what I'm going
to
start.
He wants to bring me a coffee machine. He's like, you guys with your coffee. He's like, so all right. So let's get into the order of business here, which is taking calls from all our, Jason, you've never done this before, but these guys have. And I have a ton of listeners in Canada, and we always talk about bands that are Canadian that didn't make it in America that people loved, or vice versa. And we just, people call in and shout out a band.
But
and
they're not just Canadians calling in. They're all
From all over. Yeah. But I'm saying we get a lot of Canadian listeners as well. Mm-hmm. And they'll call in and they'll mention a band. It might be a known band or an unknown band. And everybody usually chimes in with a story or never heard of them. Or here's the thing.
Have you brushed up on your Coney Hatch knowledge?
I have. Actually, I think we should conduct a segment of Canadian Stump the Trunk.
Oh, wow, that's pretty easy, though.
Well,
No,
that would be hard. Speaking of the hatch, since you broke the seal on the first one, and I love the hatch.
Yeah,
we all love the hatch.
Did you see that Coney Hatch just got a full tour of the UK opening for Steve Harris's British Lion Band?
Wow, that so relationship cool, goes back.
Because, from Peace of Mind Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw Coney Hatch on that
tour.
Isn't
that amazing? Wow.
Unfortunately, the great Steve Shelsky is not part of Coney Hatch anymore.
Our friend Sean Kelly plays guitar for them now, and Sean's amazing, the guitar player.
He's also with Lee Aaron, isn't he?
And with Lee Aaron as well.
Yeah, you know, Steve Shelsky...
We're already
going in there, aren't we? I just wanted to say that Steve Shelsky was a huge influence when I was
growing
up.
Don't move your mic.
I know, but it sounds like ass in my ears. That's why.
Well, we can change it, but you're changing your level.
Okay. I think Shelsky plays in Toronto now, the band, or some version of that. I think I might be making that up, but I think that might be correct. Feel free to call in. Barry Connors, drummer for Toronto, call in right now.
Dave Thumper Ketchum was
the
drummer.
That's not bad. That was the not old, bad. Yeah. That's the first drummer.
Wow. Yeah.
He's back in
the
band.
He's stumping me
now. He's still in the band. Yeah.
He's back. In the band now.
Yeah. But Shelsky had a killer guitar tone.
Oh, a fantastic guitar player. Yeah.
Killer.
One of my main influences, that as I go back, I'm like, I love the Friction record, and I was heavy Shelsky.
Yeah. It was.
What happened to him?
Well,
I think he might be in Toronto.
Okay.
Well, he does whatever he wants.
Why isn't he in the Hatch anymore?
Yeah.
I talked to Andy about it. I just think there's a differences in
paycheck
value and what you should, you know, way you should roll and the status of the, you know. It is. It's a story we've all heard a billion times. But before I dive in the calls, one thing I got to talk to you about, Jason, and I mentioned this to my audience, is that, you were on this show a while ago, but for a phenomenal film that I keep recommending that you were involved in called Hired Gun. And I mentioned it before you came in just now. If you guys listening out there have not seen this movie, it is a fantastic film. And you were the one that told me about it. I know you're in it. You were involved in it. It was a number of years ago because you're like, there's a screening in LA and I went to it. and all of that. Last I checked, the movie was on Netflix. Is it still there?
It's Amazon Prime now.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, yeah.
And did it do well after all these years? Is it still finding audience?
Yeah, I it became sort of a cult favorite, you know? I mean, I had people sort of patting me on the back more for that movie than anything that happened in Five Finger Death Punch. It was
Don't
really
you feel
strange.
Like when it goes into streaming, suddenly it finds a whole new life?
Oh,
like,
I had people reconnecting with me that I hadn't talked to in years saying, I think I just saw you in a movie, you know? Or somebody in the lobby in Italy would go, you're that guy from that movie.
Yeah.
It's amazing the reach of television and film 100%. And how much larger the reach is as opposed to music.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Big time.
And the thing that came out of that movie, so many things came out of that movie because it was so revealing in so many ways. But the Liberty DeVito story.
Yeah, that was great.
Was huge. Now, is what year was Hired Gun done?
2017.
Okay, so it's roughly 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Did I hear that Liberty is like cool with Billy Joel
totally
now?
Totally cool. They're
really?
Buds again.
No way.
No way.
So I contributed to that.
You brokered the piece?
Because this is great, but we reached out to Billy when we were making the film and asked him if he would like to interview because Liberty has a main role in the film. Mm-hmm. And then he got very upset. The lawyers were like, I need to see a transcript of all of the interview, raw interview. So this is going sideways. And the net is that I guess he saw the film. He realized the impact of what had happened had on these guys. And he decided to reconnect and be cool.
Wow. Oh, wow. Because that could have easily went the other way
100%.
If you've seen the movie.
Well,
because he lays them out.
And Liberty signed an NDA when they settled because Liberty sued Billy. That was the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there was an NDA that accompanied the settlement. So I found out about the NDA after he had given us all of his interview. And he had everything to lose. I said, I didn't know you had an NDA. Of course, I have all the footage and it belongs to me. But I'm like, what do you want me to do, Lib? He goes, run it.
Oh,
wow.
I could. What's he going to sue me for? My shoes?
Right. Yeah.
So I have nothing.
And for those that don't know, an NDA stands for non-disclosure agreement, when you sign it and basically say you're not going to talk about anything. And
the gag order.
It's a gag order, basically. Last thing, because I know we were here to talk to callers and talk Canadian rock. But on that movie, would you ever do a second part? Would you ever do a sequel?
100%.
Because it could absolutely
be Fired Guns.
I'm
claiming that right now.
It's funny because right before you said that, I was going to say the second one will probably be called Fired Guns.
Really?
I'm serious.
Wow.
And the logo will have like an X over the H and like that'd a marker great, over the top with F. It's perfect.
So, okay, like for example, like who?
Well,
Todd Kearns.
Do you have something to announce, Todd?
I don't know. Yeah.
Are you out of a gig that we don't know about?
I don't know what I've been fired from, but yeah.
We'll start with my story.
But I'm serious. That'd be great to do a sequel to it, and it's a phenomenal movie. If you've not seen it, I talk about this all the time. So many people, so many callers call in, and they think that if an artist ever made a video or was on a record, they're set for life, they're part of a band, they get paid all this money.
Well, that's the illusion. We should just keep going forever.
But his film pulls the whole curtain back on that.
Yeah, it's the dirt. It's
which
all
is
the dirt.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's so great. So if you have not seen it, seek out Hired Gun. It's a phenomenal film.
Awesome.
It's on Amazon now. And hopefully, because there's so many other guys in that position that have stories like that to tell. You could do 3 sequels if you really wanted to.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I need the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, here we go. Fitz, Kearns, Hook, Canadian Madness, what do you got? Hit us with the band. We'll start not in Canada. We'll start in Boston with Paul as our first caller today. Paul, what's going on?
Hey, Eddie, how you doing today?
Good, Paul. What's your band?
So, yeah, I've kind of gone down a Canadian rabbit hole, but first just want to say I'm a huge fan of Todd Kearns and Brett and all your music.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I've interacted with you on Twitter a couple times, too, and you're always really great to talk with and see in concert.
Where
well.
Are you exactly? Did we cover this already?
He's in Boston.
He's in Boston, sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Boston. Yep. Yeah, I saw you at the Hampton Casino Ballroom with Slash.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one.
It's funny because when they came in, they were just telling me they were a really big fan of Paul from Boston. So,
hey.
Paul, what's your band? Because we got a ton of callers.
I got you. Okay, so I like The Beaches. The Beaches are an all-female band from the Toronto area.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the Beaches of that area. That's where the name came from. And they've actually backed up the Rolling Stones and a few other bands. They're really, really good.
They're pretty new school.
You know
right?
those guys?
They're like young, aren't
Fitz
they?
Fitz is shrugging his shoulders like he doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Neither does Jason.
Version of Flush.
Yeah, but they're young, right? They're like...
Yeah, they're in their early 20s.
Yeah,
this is why
young.
I like this show, because I usually get hip to something I didn't know, and I go they right are to Spotify.
Great. I've heard from, I try to stay a little bit plugged in, but it is tough. It's tough enough to stay plugged into young music anyway, but especially young Canadian music. But yeah, they're cool. The Beaches are cool.
The Beaches, so this is a new younger band that Fitz is now Googling immediately, and that he, Paul,
awesome.
Paul, made the, Paul made the connection saying they're kind of like the Canadian equivalent
they
of
opened
Plush.
For the Stones, so it's you know
that's awesome.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, in Toronto.
All right, and if you don't know about Plush, there are four young girls, women that
from
have
back
been
east,
doing great. I mean, I've had them on the show,
and we had them out with Slash too on the
yeah they've had a lot of great touring opportunities. Here's Kelly, who's in Saskatchewan. Kelly,
Saskatchewan,
the motherland.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi, Kelly.
What do you got? Hi.
Where in Saskatchewan are you?
Regina, Saskatchewan.
We'll be there
Regina.
In a couple days.
Isn't that like your hometown?
I've one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly, what's your band?
Kick-Ax from Regina.
Of course, Kick-Ax.
Kick-Ax.
Eddie has been like waterboarded with Kick-Ax information from Chris Jericho for several years now.
But wait a minute. When you say, of course, Kick-Ax, is that because they're from there?
They're from Regina, yeah.
Oh, they are.
They were so like the Golden Boys. They were like, they went out open for Judas Priest. They did a bunch of that kind of stuff where they were like, gonna be. 84. They were
on the road to rock.
They were on the road to rock. Thank you, Eddie.
See
Trump.
What I did there?
All I remember
we should just probably end the show there.
The bass player had that really cool bat wing.
It was made by Fury Guitars out of Saskatoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fury?
Yeah.
Fury okay. Guitar. There you go.
And they did a record produced by Spencer Proffer. And they went, and you know, I'm sure you have a million different guests that have been on here having their own Spencer Proffer experiences. So Kick-Ax is just another one of those, unfortunately. Yeah. No, one of the great bands. Two amazing records, and then a third that's really good. And then they just kind of went away. They've actually got a new version together, and they're great.
Oh, they're still active.
They did the Chris Jericho cruise.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Of course they did.
Yeah. You're not aware of that?
Chris probably paid him $1 million. Yeah. Oh, Kick-Ax.
Yeah. Every Chris Jericho cruise, it's Kick-Ax.
Kick-Ax and Halloween.
Yeah.
Just two things.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, hey, Kelly, so do you still see them around in your area?
Yeah. They played the Regina Casino a couple of years ago, and I went and seen them again. But yeah, amazing. Whenever they're in the area, I always go.
Different singer. He's great too, though.
Yeah. Right. That so it's good. Houston was amazing. The original first album.
One of the most underrated frontman vocals.
Todd, you and I met George at a Took show in Vancouver during the Canadian Junos, like the Grammys, a few years back, and we were definitely starstruck. We were happy that George was at the gig, but I saw Kick Axe back in the day. Chris has a great story of being on stage with them when we were like teenagers. He won a contest, but yeah, I love that band, and I saw them open for Quiet Riot and Whitesnake, was the tour in 84 or something. It's a big deal.
The thing I remember most about them is even for that time, they had a very elaborate video, if I remember, for probably On the Road to Rock.
On the Road to Rock, yeah.
Which is like, you know, it was always a big deal back then when there was a music video and the band didn't even, the song didn't even kick in for like a minute and a half because there's all the buildup.
Yeah, hold so
and I remember them having some, they were, I forget what it was, but there's this big production.
Michael Jackson started that.
Yeah.
With Thriller.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
for sure.
Let's make a movie.
Here's Scott in Buffalo. Not Canada, but close enough. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, guys. Hey, Eddie. Nice to talk to you. Been a long time listener.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm in Buffalo. I'm as close to being in Canada as you can get without being there.
Right.
So my my family's from Hamilton and got a lot of family up in that area, Mississauga, so I consider myself partly Canadian.
My in-laws, in-laws are in Hamilton, so there you go.
On the mountain or?
I don't know.
What's the address? What's their phone number, Todd?
I forget.
Go ahead, Scott.
So I want to talk about Kim Mitchell. So
yes,
let's.
You know, most people know him from his, you know, the Max Webster days. He was popular. Max opened for Rush back in late 70s, early 80s. But then, you know, when Kim went solo, you know, he just never really took off in the States. Obviously huge in Canada. I think he's got 11, 12 albums out, 1.5 million records sold, rock and roll or Canadian, you know, Hall of Fame, all that kind of stuff, but just never really took off in America. In Buffalo, you know, going to see Kim is a regular thing. Every summer we go to see him. He plays somewhere outdoors. For years and years, he always played the night before Thanksgiving here at the Trough, a nice little club downtown Buffalo. I mean, I went to that for probably 20 years straight. That kind of went away just before COVID. You know, it's only
another totally underrated guitar player.
Yeah, really, Scott, we got to run because we got a ton of calls, but thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. You mentioned Kim Mitchell not breaking in America. The closest he would have come was a song called Go for a Soda.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, I was going to try to stump you.
Yeah, got a little airplay here and like was a semi-rock radio hit back when it came out, but it definitely didn't break him.
That was his first solo hit. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Even in his only sniff at radio in America. Okay. I don't know about Canada.
Yeah, no, I think that was his debut song for the Kim Mitchell Band.
Have we ever talked about the Billy Sheehan brought in a song by Max Webster for the first David Lee Roth Band? They apparently cut a version of a song called "Kids in Action." Is that the name of the song?
Yeah,
it's a Max Webster song because of course Billy was in Talis from
Man,
Buffalo.
You are deep.
Dude, it
you
gets deep super deep.
I
on
thought
this.
I was going to come in and kick
and
ass.
They apparently
and Talis just put
a
out a new record, by the way, which is
I
really
heard
good.
That. I heard that. Wow. I'd be curious to hear that, too. But no, Billy brought in this song, and they apparently cut a version of an old Max Webster song. I'm like, wow, I got to hear that. Billy claims to, it's probably somewhere in the garage or in a storage unit. I'm like, wow.
And I'm pretty sure Kim Mitchell produced the first Coney Hatch.
He did.
Right?
I always thought that was him playing the solo on Monkey Bars, you know, that super that super crazy one, but it's apparently Shelsky. Yeah. But Kim's a very underrated guitar player, too. He's really great.
Yeah, he produced the first Hatch, and then Max Norman did the second.
And everybody has to listen to Battle Scar, where it's Rush and Max Webster playing together.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Here's Alan.
Call me for all your Max Webster needs.
Here's Alan Jersey. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, Todd, Brenton, Jason, how are you? And Maddie.
How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
All right, I got a little bit more on the alternative metal front. It would be I, Mother Earth from Toronto.
Sure,
I love those guys.
Wow.
Kind of a mix of like Jane's, if you took like Jane's Addiction, like Little Chili Peppers and The Doors
and kind of
put it in a pot, you kind of get them. Yeah, Jack and Christian Tanna brothers.
Yeah,
Jack
amazing.
Tanna, crazy guitar player, man. He's awesome. And there's a Rush connection that Edwin sang on Alex Lifeson's Victor album.
That's right.
And then Alex played on their second album, and Geddy actually played on their third album, like a song each. So
that's so
yeah,
crazy.
Those guys probably were pretty big in Canada, but here in America, whenever I mention their name, people are like, "Who?" You know. So you know
I've really heard funny. Of them, but I don't. I couldn't name you a song, but I've heard
you
of them.
You know what's really funny is one of the times we did one of these.
Yeah.
I think maybe it was Sebastian. I got a text immediately from Mike Klink. Mike Klink produced a
record called Appetite and
Triumph. Yeah. A little something called Appetite for Destruction. But he produced the first I Mother Earth album. He goes, how come you didn't bring up I Mother Earth and Mike Klink? And I go, oh, right. Well, there was a million other things on our plate. I went down a Max Webster hole for 20 minutes. I don't know. But the
that record's called Dig.
Dig, the the Dig.
Yes, the first I do record, not remember the name.
The first record was Mike Klink produced.
I Mother Earth was huge in Canada?
Well, what happened, remember I told you I got dropped?
Yeah.
When we came back and we were trying to figure out who what to do, I Mother Earth was the thing in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like Santana, you know.
Yeah, they had like a lot of percussion guy.
Yeah, it was. I was confused because I just like metal.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't, you know, they're like, why don't you try something like I Mother Earth? And I'm like,
get a conga player?
I don't know, man. it's interesting and new, but it's just not.
Well, they kind of changed their thing too. Like, you know, couple years later, they got kind of more, I wouldn't call it mainstream, but they weren't as heavy sounding. They kind of, they did really well in Canada. They were always really huge.
I did see them early on and they were headlining. This was in Winnipeg when I was still living there. Our Lady Peace opened for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who are big in Canada, right?
And did well in the States.
Yeah.
Who just got a gig opening for Smashing Pumpkins because Jane's Addiction dropped off and they were in Canada and Jane's Addiction, I don't know, Perry was sick or something.
Okay.
So they needed a sub band to fill out the two or three shows and they had Our Lady Peace come in. Hmm.
Wow.
Produced by Arnold Lanny, who came from Frozen Ghost.
And Sheriff.
That came from Sheriff.
Yeah. And Sheriff did.
Sheriff, I'm with you. I remember. Yeah, Sheriff's Canadian?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Took's version of When I'm With You is
you can Google it on YouTube.
Give us a few, bars, Todd.
Give me a C, a bouncy C.
That song, When I'm With You, holds a Guinness World Record for the longest held note at the end of the song.
Oh, yeah,
is that right?
Check it out.
Freddie just sings this crazy
song. This is Canadian Day today.
Hamilton,
Canadian
Ontario.
And Jason worked with Freddie Kersey, which is a whole other story. But
Al, thank you for the call. Let's go to John in Baltimore. What's up, John?
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, John, what's your band?
I'm going to say I'm going old school with some April Wine.
Of course.
Good call. You have to.
From an American perspective, I think the closest they would have come would have been Sign of the Gypsy Queen here.
That was big, yeah.
You know, maybe just between you and me.
What about like songs like Roller? That always seems to
Roller.
Get like...
Roller is a badass song.
That's a super
great solo.
It's like a three-way harmony solo going on, yeah.
And maybe Roller, like in certain... like I feel like April Wine is kind of like... certain pockets of America
regional.
Did better than others. Kind of course, like Triumph was like that too.
Right.
And that's
100%.
That's a thanks, John, for the call. And that I've talked about that before. That's a byproduct of those bands that started in the 70s, early 80s. Back then, radio stations in America were all owned by every station was owned by a different person or company. Now it's one or two companies that own every station.
That's
so if you get on one, you get on all. Yeah. If you don't get on any, you don't get on. But back then it was different, whereas like a guy in San Antonio loved you. You could be San Antonio and go play 5,000 people, but then you go to New York and nobody knew who you were.
There's a band from Toronto called Moxie that does big business in Texas.
Yep.
And it's always kind of staggering. Like,
didn't
I'm like,
Triumph sort of hit in Texas
correct.
As well?
Correct. There must have been some station down there that was like, really cool.
Oh, yeah. So, well, San Antonio, there was a DJ by the name of Joe Anthony, who's since passed away. But he championed a lot of those bands in the 70s. And then, of course, the biggest band maybe from Canada, Rush, they broke out of, I think it was Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because if you saw the documentary, Donna Halpern
Working
was the
man.
DJ.
Yes.
Yeah. But back then... the radio stations all had autonomy, and back then the DJs had autonomy to pick what they wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
That all went away years and decades ago, but that's why you can have these older bands have regional pockets, and I feel like April Wine was kind of like that a little bit.
Todd, they're legends up there.
Being on the Kiss Cruise in the last couple of weeks and playing with Sebastian Bach, our Canadian
Sebastian,
friend.
Yeah, we had to play Rock and Roll is a Vicious Game, which is an April Wine song. Sebastian recorded a version of that song on, I can't remember which one of his recordings,
And we played Working Man.
And Working Man, great. We played too. Yeah,
we and we played Tom Sawyer on the Kiss Cruise. Yeah. Sebastian's with request Sebastian was like, Bach. Dude, we got to do some Canadian stuff.
Didn't do On the Road to Rock. He still won't shut up about that. Just kidding. Oh,
there was a push for Kick-Ass.
I'm surprised he wouldn't be calling us. Dude.
Here's Craig in Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Wow. Far East.
Craig, you're on Trunk Nation with Jason Hook, Brent Fitz, and Todd Kearns.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. I saw you, Todd. You played back here years ago acoustically at a place called Myron's right in Charlottetown.
Was that with Matt Good?
That was with Matt Good and with Finger 11, I believe.
The Matthew Good Band. I don't know if you remember them. They're
yeah, Matt Good played here last night, actually.
I saw he was back east. That's so cool that he's still doing it. Good for him.
Yeah, but every
time
that
was fine. We were out there.
What's that?
Go ahead.
No, it's every time you guys do the show, I'm always working and I'm always hollering at the phone or the radio, wondering why no one's mentioned Haywire yet.
Well, we're getting there.
From your neighborhood.
We're getting there.
Yeah, I don't know Haywire. I've never even heard of Haywire. So
I'll send you a couple tracks. They were great.
Give me something. Thank you, Craig, for the call. One of you guys, who's the Haywire expert of you three?
Dance Desire was probably the big.
Who is the guitar player? Derry?
No, that's Honey Derry's Sweet. From Honey
I'm sorry. Yeah. I got it. Okay. I'm disqualified.
Similar thing. But Haywire was from, they were from back east, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They might be Halifax or.
It is. It's out on the east. Yeah. 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 But great songs. Great
kind of music we talking. Like
rock.
Pretty straight up rock,
pretty pop rock.
Yeah, pop.
You know, rock. I mean, we're talking like Honeymoon Suite, those kind of groups. They kind of sort of there was guitar, but it was
and keyboards. There was definitely a template, 5-piece band, great harmonies, great guitar player in the band, but also keyboards.
Totally.
Bon Jovi like,
very Bon Jovi-ish. Yeah, the singer was really good. They had a song called Dance Desire, and it was used. The track was used and rapped to by Maestro Fresh Wes.
Oh my God!
One of the very early Canadian rappers.
Was there a big? He's like the Curtis Blow of Canada.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've been looking for a Maestro Fresh West T-shirt for years.
I've been waiting for a reference on this show for that artist.
Oh, we're just getting started.
It's been way too long since we've had a little talk about whoever. Here's Maestro. I'm sorry, Micro. David in Austin, Texas. David, you're on the air. David.
Hey, my band is Moxie.
Yeah, we just talked about
You just talked about. I know that Eddie. You mentioned that dude Joe in San Antonio, and he broke Moxie, I think. And in fact, Moxie got such a big following in San Antonio that I think they were started to open for AC/DC. Did a pretty big tour, I think, of the U.S., but they seemed to sort of disappear off the map. What happened to them?
That's a good question. You know, Mike Reno from Loverboy came from Moxie. He was the singer from Moxie.
Kidding.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I just saw Loverboy like 2 weeks ago at an event I co-hosted in Cancun.
I bet
they were great.
Yeah, they're still solid.
Mike can still sing.
Still sing.
Paul Dean is a super underrated guitar player.
Is,
I love his riffs and his tone.
One time we were riding to the airport somewhere in a van with Slash and the guys, and Turn Me Loose was just playing. You know, there's a very long guitar solo in that song. It's very interesting. And we're just sitting there, and it's kind of like, you know, just that trying to drink your coffee all out of your mind. And Slash looks at me and goes, "That's a really good solo." I go, "Oh, yeah, yeah." I'll make sure I tell Paul that next time I see him. Yeah.
So I'm at this event, which is a great event. I co-host it every year. It's called The Sands, and it's in this year it was in Cancun. And it's a mixed music event in that you got everything from Culture Club to Vanilla Ice to a couple rock acts. So I kind of slot in with the rock stuff, of course, be my thing. But it was the last day of the event, and I had, you know, I sat through the Vanilla Ice and the Culture Clubs and the Belinda Carlisles and all fine.
Sure, yeah.
But I needed, so I got, Loverboy's playing, it's rock, I get to announce Loverboy. So I'm sitting there, I'm talking to Paul Dean, and he's like noodling behind his amp, and we're talking a little bit. And he goes, "Yeah, you ready to bring us out?" I go, "Yes." I said, "Because I'm ready, because I got to hear, nah, 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 nah. Like, Turn Me Loose, you know, the guitar." And he just looks at me, he goes, "I understand, I got it for you." And then that song came on, I was like, nah, nah, nah. I was like, yes.
Great tone.
Yeah,
always
it was
that great
killer,
tone.
Yeah. So killer.
My first concert was Loverboy.
And they just got, I don't know if you saw yesterday, Foreigner announced their Done farewell tour next year, and Loverboy's going to open all the shows.
Yep.
And
they were just on with Styx and somebody in the triple bill thing last summer. Yeah, yeah.
We have to mention too.
Also Moxie, but our bass player that we just had on the he was filling in for Zach Throne because he's too busy to play with us now too.
Yes, he's way too important.
But Chaz Coates. Too important. Yeah,
Chaz Coates. Butcher. But
Chaz Coates Butcher played bass in some version of a newer version of Moxie as well.
They just played like 2 weeks before
they played
we were
in
on
Texas.
The cruise. And they played in San Antonio, and apparently it was a huge gig.
It's the original guitar player, I believe, and he has a lineup of the singer for Slick Toxic, Nick.
Right.
Nick Walsh.
Nick Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not realize that Mike Reno came from that band, though. I didn't know
a
that.
A long time ago.
And yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but
Mike
I did.
Mike Ranowski, I think, is his real name. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Well, after I just saw Loverboy a couple weeks ago, I Googled some stuff, and I didn't know this because I was pretty sure, because the drummer came over and was talking to me. I was with John Tempesta, and he was talking to John, and then we talked for a minute. But Loverboy is all original, I believe, with the exception of the bass player who died under
Scott.
Strange circumstances. Yeah. They said he, I looked up, he
lost
was,
at sea or something.
Lost at sea. He rented a boat and was like by Golden Gate Bridge and never been found.
You know, Paul, Matt, and Spider, who currently plays bass for Loverboy, are all from Streetheart.
Oh, okay.
Regina's Streetheart.
Oh, wow. All
there
right.
You go.
Let's get another
Don't
one
get
in
me started.
Here.
It's happening.
Here's Sergey in Toronto.
All right.
Sergey.
Greetings from snowy Toronto. First
hello.
Of the year happening.
My hometown.
Hello, hello.
Hello,
hello, hello.
So I'm going to give you guys a little focused rock and roll. The duos. There seems to be an explosion of Canadian rock duos happening right now.
Interesting.
Crownlands, Standstills, Cleopatra, and two of my faves. Black Pistol Fire and the Bluestones, who I just saw on Thursday night at the Danforth Music Hall. They
There's
rock.
A few of
Fitz
those.
Is going to Google again. He's,
right away.
He doesn't. You hit him of, with something he doesn't know. He's going right to his phone.
So are you
they're
saying they're like
bands.
Like two dudes playing and that's it? Like the White Stripes kind of a thing or more like...
White Stripes? Yeah, White Stripes. A little more, I would say, groovier rock. If you ever get a chance, the Bluestones out of Windsor and...
The Cleopatrics I'm familiar
Pistol
with.
Fire, yeah, they're out of Toronto, but I think they're based out of Austin now. Fantastic.
But Sergey, are these bands two-piece bands?
Two-piece, that's it.
I think the two-piece band is the smartest model you can do. You throw your stuff in a station wagon, you go play, you go home.
The Bluestones has 40 million plays on a song called Black Holes. I'm just looking it up.
40 million plays, well. But that's metric.
Sergey, thank you for the call.
That's impressive.
No offense to the two-piece bands out there, but two-piece screams novelty. Get a third person. I want at least minimum three in any band I'm taking seriously. Otherwise, it's a novelty. You got a guy playing with his elbow, his toes, computers running tracks.
Yeah, it reeks of laptops.
Forget that shit.
Breakfast could be a one-man
three,
bed.
Trio minimum. Three people minimum. Anything else is like, look at me. You know, I'm playing with my nose. I don't need that.
Hey, I want to see that. I want to see
the nose
playing. Give me
three people minimum, please. Here's Bobby, who's in Doylestown, PA. Hi, Bobby, you're on the air.
Hey, Ed, great to talk to you guys. Hey, Todd, I just got off the KISS cruise. I was Mark Weiss's intern, and Sebastian's neighbor on the cruise. So I got to throw
his cabin.
So
wait, his cabin was next to yours?
I'm so
sorry.
Wait,
stop right there. Bobby, Sebastian's cabin was next to yours?
What? Ed, I was between heaven and hell. I had Michael Sweet on one side, Sebastian on the other.
And wait, they reconciled between you. They came through your adjoining rooms and made the peace.
I think that's all on Bobby. Bobby made that happen.
Well, you know, it was that and the tattoo that I got, you know, Mark Weiss's logo on my arm. Yeah, look, there's a lot of stories on that cruise.
Mark had you schlepping around that 50-pound book all over the ship, I'm sure, trying to get people to buy
We'll be doing it at Rock Island with, Honeymoon Suite will be down there, which is
great.
You know, we're going a little, you know, and good friends of mine, Dirtbag Republic out of Vancouver, you know, Advisors Band.
Wow.
That's the band you're giving us, Dirtbag Republic? It's a great name. I've not heard of them, Bobby.
Ed's band. But no, I would go with Honeymoon Suite. It's probably my band here.
Okay, well, that's great.
I saw Honeymoon Suite at this. Thank you, Bobby. I saw Honeymoon Suite at the same event that I was just talking about 2 years ago in Cancun, and they were real good. They played.
Derry's a great guitar player, as Jason brought up earlier. Yeah, Derry's like a real Eddie Van Halen kind of. Dude.
And I'll be hosting Rock Island, so I'll see you there,
and
Bobby.
His daughter was last
American
year's,
Idol,
like right to the very end. She
Derry
was
Derry
on
Greer,
American
his daughter.
Idol.
Who's? Wow.
The guitar player
Derry Grahan
Honeymoon
from
Suite.
Honeymoon Suite. His daughter went right to the very end of the American Idol last season. Like, very impressive. Yep.
How she's can really she be talented. An American Idol if she's Canadian?
Right, good point.
Well, I think
is there
they,
a Canadian Idol?
No, I think they live in Illinois, so
correct.
I think he must have married an American or something.
Oh,
or they relocated. Defected. I'm not sure.
I'm not trying to be a wise ass saying is there a Canadian Idol, because we know there's a
Canadian
Swedish Idol because the guy singing in Skid Row now won that or
there
something.
There was a Canadian Idol,
Eric, All right, here's Elliot, who's in Ontario.
Elliot. Ontario, California.
Elliot.
Yo, Elliot.
No, it's actually Tony, but I'm in Elliot Lake, Ontario.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay. They put Elliot as your name. I'm sorry, Tony. You're on the air.
No. All good. So going up in Elliot Lake, Ontario, not a lot of rock music on our radio station. So you guys must remember the Pepsi Power Hour on Much Music.
Of course, dude.
100%.
That's where I got my music. So my band is Rockhead.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Weren't you part of that?
Rockhead, that was Eric Carr's cartoon thing.
Rockhead was.
No, Bob Rock. Bob Rock.
Bob Rock, the producer, had a band. After all those years of doing stuff, he finally put a band together called Rockhead. We played a bunch of shows with those guys. He had me come down and play harmonica on a song, and then he never used it. I can't remember what it was. It's kind of like one of those clipped. Speaking of getting fired earlier. But yeah, he did a cool record with this guy, Steve Jacks, was a really great local singer. Who's still a great local singer and a great fun
And when
guy.
They were on tour, Richie Sambora, Billy Duffy played with them.
Jeez. So. Ziggy was the rhythm guitar player, our friend
From
Ziggy.
From
Econoline
Crush,
passed away a while ago.
Yeah,
great band. Great call. I'm going to go look that
band.
Up. Is that on Spotify? I'm going to check it out.
It is. That's
good
right.
Call.
I have it on Spotify.
Cool.
If Joel can play Rockhead, Bed of Roses, that's a good intro.
That was the
Bed of
All
Roses.
Right, Tony, thank you. We got, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes left to go on the show, so let's dive right back in. But before we go to more calls, you guys all blurted out during the commercial break some very obscure Canadian bands that I've never heard of. Does anyone want to shout these out on the air?
Jason was part of that Toronto thing, so he's way hip on like all that stuff. So
I was saying that I saw Kid Wicked play when I was underage. I stood on a chair outside the patio of the Gasworks looking through the window.
Wow. Featuring a very young
Sebastian Bach.
Yeah,
and he had hair, I swear, was 3 feet off of his...
Yeah.
Spiked up off his head.
Yeah, he had it.
They were a big deal.
What was the band you said, Brent? Slash something?
Puppet.
Well, yeah. So we got this magazine across Canada, similar to like Metal Edge or Faces, but it was specific to Toronto. So it was like a bootleg thing if we got it in Winnipeg, but it's
a big deal.
Meat Magazine, which meant Todd.
Metal events around Toronto. But so what was the other band you mentioned that I didn't know?
Vigilance,
and then like Sire, and all these different kinds.
These sound like more like death metal, but Vigilance.
They weren't.
But pop Super rock, hit. But like the Bon Jovi type thing, but good songs.
Vigilance sounds like it's like, you know,
yeah,
it
should be
written pop
in
rock
in that kind of logo.
In that logo, you can't even read it. They're so heavy, you can't read it. Yeah. You know, you can't even decipher my logo.
Core.
Wow. All right.
I have to say something real quick. So Jason has a connection to a band I just saw here in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. A Canadian band from Tirana.
I was wondering when we were going to get to this.
Well, we have to. Killer Dwarfs.
Oh, yeah. They just played at the Rockstar Bar, right?
So my night it doesn't get any more Canadian. And I don't want to talk about me because I want to mention you because you have a connection to them. But that night, I did play with the Guess Who in Vegas playing drums.
I wish I had known.
It was sold out. I couldn't invite any friends. Anyway, I left playing with one of the greatest Canadian bands of all time, went to see the Killer Dwarfs at another gig later in the evening, and Sebastian Bach came down to the gig too and sang with them.
Wow. Of course he did.
With the Dwarfs.
Jason, did you play with the Dwarfs at some point?
Yes, I did.
I did not know that.
You were a Killer Dwarf?
I was a Killer Dwarf. Let's hear about that.
You were Jason Dwarf?
Jason Dwarf.
Were you really?
I was.
It sounds like a Jason Bourne spinoff.
No, I was in a very short time period. But I can't remember.
How long ago?
Well, when you lived in Toronto.
After you left Five Finger Death Punch?
No. Yeah, I just got off with them on Thursday.
I'm leaving Five Finger to become a member of Killer Dwarfs.
You must have been a kid, though. You must have been very young.
Yeah, I was young. I was in the early 90s. And I can't remember. I got a call, and they were like, you know, they needed a guitar player. So I was really excited about it. I was living in Los Angeles, so I went back to gig with them.
Oh, you did?
Around
I didn't
Canada.
Know you were in LA.
Yeah.
Can you ride a tricycle with no shoes on?
You know, honestly, some of the nicest human beings I've ever worked with.
Great guys.
Just wonderful guys.
Yeah.
I still communicate with Daryl.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
It was a good experience. I loved playing with them. I loved the music. Totally. It was fun.
Stand tall.
Brent, how was the gig, Brent, when you went to see him?
It was great because the last time I saw them, I snuck into a bar. The first time I saw them, I snuck into a bar underage in Winnipeg as like a 16-year-old.
Wow.
They played the famous Osborne Village and the Zoo, which was where all the rock bands played, Kick Axe and everything.
Don't Look for It's No Longer There.
And then, And then years later, actually playing with Vince Neil, I think, Jason, you and I played with the Dwarfs in Barrie, Ontario or something. Yeah. We'd done some shows together. But yeah, it was just like perfect timing that they happen to be in Vegas. And
I wish I had known, man.
This is funny. Tim from Toronto. Tim, go ahead with your band. You were next up. I didn't realize this. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say Killer Gores.
Ah, I knew it would get there.
Featuring Jason Hook.
What? Yeah, the Jason Hook version only.
Yeah.
What's that, Tim?
I do have another band.
Go ahead.
Gotto.
Gotto, yeah. Of course, yeah, yeah.
That came up last time we did this with you, Todd. Yeah, you mentioned Gatto that.
But so you would have known all about Gatto because they were back east phenomenon as well.
Greg was a champion of my band, that same band went to record in Los Angeles. Oh. He was like, you're going to be huge. You're going to be on the cover of some guitar magazine.
There you go.
And I was a kid.
Yeah.
But he was like a mentor to me.
Greg Gatovitz was...
Cool guy.
It's spelled like G-O-D-D-O, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where Gatto comes
cool
from.
Dude.
He was like... He is a legend, really.
Yeah, I read his book.
Yeah, he's the best.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan in South Carolina. Go ahead, Jonathan.
This will be interesting.
The band I'm calling about is, they're a bit of a novelty niche band, but they're really big in the nerdcore scene and in the conventions.
Wait a minute, there's a nerdcore scene?
Spree.
I've never heard of that term.
Yes, sir, yes.
Cybertronic,
it's like, they're called the Cybertronic Free, and they're a tribute band, and they do a lot of cover songs. They actually got a Kickstarter coming out later this year, early next year, that they got about, $250,000 in backing on it to doing their very first original produced album. But they got popular by doing a cover-to-cover remake of the Transformers 1986 movie soundtrack.
What?
And when they do their shows, they dress up in foam outfits that look like Transformers from the cartoon.
And, of course, the Transformers cartoon, which Chris Jericho should be here for, was two songs by
Doug Aldridge,
Spectre General, which was the fake name that they gave to Kick-Ass. So, for some reason, probably illegally using Kick-Ass's songs, because one of the dubious business moves that was done on their behalf... So they had the name Spectre General. And one of those songs was called Hunger that went on to be
King Cobra.
Wow. Thank you, Jonathan, for that. Very, very interesting. Lexington, Kentucky. This is Robert. Robert, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah, I was at Monsters on the Mountain, and I was able to see Tuke there. Killer show. Amazing. So good.
Thank you. We got a new single out. Can't Stop It. Go find it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've already seen it, got it downloaded,
great.
So good to go. Ran into a couple friends of Brent's there, Lee and Leandra Wren.
Yes,
Winnipeg's finest.
Wherever you go, you'll run into friends of Brent's. That's just the
everyone
way.
Is friends
yeah,
with Brent Fitz.
Yeah, it was a great time. But the reason I was calling, Prism.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, yeah, Vancouver. Yeah.
I mean, you guys open up with Armageddon, so.
Yeah, we do. There. We play.
And then, go ahead.
We play a few Prism songs, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a friend of mine.
Alumni of Jim Vallance and Bruce Fairburn.
Bruce Fairburn, the producer, and Jim Vallance, the songwriter. Those guys both came from the initial version of Prism, was a Vancouver.
Remember the album cover, which was like a prism, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Like a photo or something. I do remember the cover of that. Thank you, Robert, for shouting that one out. We appreciate it.
The singer died, unfortunately, and they were really great. Great band, great songs.
Still around. All these bands that we're talking about. You know,
there is a version of a Prism still
No
around.
Band ever ends. They just grow another head or become a hologram.
Exactly.
Lou in Kentucky. Hey, Lou.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, let's see if I can blow some minds with Jerry Doucette.
Oh, wow.
Mama Let Him Play.
You don't know Jerry Doucette?
I don't.
Yeah. Mama Let Him Play?
Great song.
Yeah, Jason there you go.
Jason Hook is stumped.
Is that a prairie thing? I'm stumped.
That's a West Coast
Is it West Coast?
Yeah, yeah. Jerry Doucette.
He had a
Vancouver.
Song called "Mama Let Him Play," and it had this extended guitar solo thing that everybody had to learn when you
it
were a
jammed
kid.
Back yeah, in was, the day.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of 70s thing, right? Jerry Doucette.
Yeah,
I mean, late 77.
Yeah,
and he has passed on recently.
He's passed, yeah, but he that was a massive.
It'd be a good Took song.
It was a big harmony solo thing that would go on. It was very, very cool. Yeah. That's a good one.
Thanks, Lou. Thanks for calling
West
that
West Coast
out.
Radio staple, for sure. Still, totally, still being played all the
that's
time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's interesting about, like, the Toronto thing and the West thing. Like, we both come from another side. So there's different influences on both sides.
Mentioning the guitar, something just came to mind. I always get I'm always uncertain about this. Is Pat Travers Canadian?
Yes, he is.
He is Canadian.
From the streets of Toronto.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
He lives in Florida now for years, yeah. But yeah. I see Pat. Pat's still a badass.
Yeah, he's
Pat's
amazing.
That's awesome.
He was at the Monsters on the Mountain.
Yeah, he's great. Here's Joey, who's in Ontario. Joey.
How you doing, guys?
Excellent. Hello.
Okay, yeah. I hope one day you'll be saying my band's name, but in the meantime, how about Copper Penny out of Kitchener? Sitting on a four-man stroll.
Turn left now.
Copper
GPS going.
Make sure you turn left.
Sorry,
Copper
guys.
Penny. I'm familiar with that name. I remember that. I've heard that name.
Sitting on a four-man stroll is their hit.
Huh. Yeah, I know that name. I'm not familiar.
Joey, your phone, between your GPS and your phone, you're jumping around a little bit. We got your Copper Penny. We'll mark it down, and Fitz is back to Google, so he's looking it
he's
up.
Gonna add it to the
here's Brock, who's in Alberta.
All right.
Hey, Brock.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. This might be out of your wheelhouse here, but have you guys ever heard of the punk band SNFU? And what are
of
your thoughts?
Of course. Legends. Yeah. That's a Vancouver band.
Did you hear that they won the Polaris Music Heritage Prize for their first album?
Really?
It was just granted to him this month, yes.
Wow, really?
I think we've totally lost Jason Hook right now.
Yeah, I'm...
SNFU was like... But SNFU is like a... They've been around for... Since the 80s, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're from the West Coast, right?
West Coast,
so
Vancouver, yeah, punk rock band.
They're out of my jurisdiction. So,
but the Toronto punk bands, like...
Jason has a radius clause.
Yeah,
teenage head.
Yeah, 100%, teenage yeah.
Head. Teenage Head.
Who are the Toronto punk bands? I'm trying to think what that one was... escapes me. It'll come to me later, but yeah. But there's a lot of West Coast punk
I was
punk
a fan
rock.
Of the Diodes, man. The Diodes are
Diodes,
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Brock.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you. Let's
Day
go
glow
to
abortions?
Edmonton, and this is Rod calling in. Hey, Rod.
Hey, TK, it's Rod Harder. How are you, man?
Rod Harder, how are you? An old Saskatoon buddy.
Good, buddy.
Wow, yeah. You been?
You are?
Let's monopolize the next 20 minutes just talking to each other.
There's only 12 left totally. In the show, so.
Yeah, he's like, gotta go, thanks for calling.
Wrap it up.
How's the family and the pets?
Name your band, Rod. I can't wait to hear
I
this.
I can mention the Infants and Seventh Heaven, but we'll leave that for another show.
Ooh, Todd and I's original.
Our high school bands, yeah.
The Infants?
The Infants.
Was that was one of your bands?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
We'll probably get sued by John Wade on that one.
I think you were just the bass player, Todd, back then?
No, I was a three-piece band. I was a singer, yeah.
Okay.
Wait, was it a Babies cover band?
Yeah. No.
We didn't
make that connection until later on. I figured that John Wade would probably sue us.
Oh, gosh.
But
all
name
right.
Your band.
But I was just going to throw out an Edmonton band. Do you guys remember Big House?
Big House, oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you remember Big House?
I do.
Yeah, because
that
would have been around
pocket.
That 90s kind of hard
Dollar
rock scene.
Pocket.
Yeah.
Well,
Jan
yeah,
was the
singer. Yeah,
Dollar
it was like
in My Pocket?
Beginning
yeah.
of the 90s. Yeah, right around
yeah,
there. Yeah,
around Slick Toxic and here. Big House. There was a few of those bands around that
Fangali.
Same sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Good band. Good
Pepsi
choice,
Power
Rod.
Hour stuff.
Say hi to the wife for me.
Rod, thank you. Take care. Let's say hi to Walter, who's in Los Angeles, joining us live right now. Walter.
Hey, gentlemen. How's everyone?
Good.
How are you?
Hi. Very good. Yeah, I was just driving down, and I just saw the Facebook post to talk about Canadian bands. I'm from Montreal, and I saw Todd a couple of times in Montreal with Age of Electric. So it's
oh,
very
wow.
cool to speak to you guys. Yeah, yeah. I saw it at the break in some random theater on St. Lawrence Street. But
sure.
Questions. When is Tolk playing in L.A.? When are you playing with Bruce Kulick in L.A.? And I had a question about a Canadian band, Platinum Blonde.
Oh, boy.
Platinum Blonde. Mark's a very good friend of mine, Mark Holmes. I used to go see them when I was a kid. It was like Beatlemania. Yeah. They were like sort of around... First time I saw them, they were opening for Bryan Adams. We thought they were really cool. They were a three-piece. They looked bitchin'. The songs were cool. The EP had just come out. It was like a big deal. Then the next time I saw them, they were headlining, and they were like almost like a Duran Duran type thing, and it was like screaming teenage girls.
Yeah.
Didn't last very long.
That's the version I remember. I may have had that record.
Yeah, the first record was way more kind of like
Crying,
you know, post-punk. Yeah, and then they did Crying Over You.
That's the second album. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I see Mark. I talk to him quite regularly.
And you know that Alex Lifeson did the solo on that song?
Did you know that?
Well, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Does the guitar solo on Crying Over You. Yeah.
Okay. I have to listen to that on the way home.
Yeah, but you would like that, yeah.
And we have done Platinum Blonde in Took's set when we do play live.
We do, yeah.
And we have played L.A., and we haven't played a proper outside of our own gig, but we played at the NAMM show.
We have, yeah.
In Anaheim.
I was at that one. I remember that one.
We played twice.
I think we played NAMM twice. And Bruce Kulick, we haven't done L.A. in a long time, but we did it in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah, before we wrap up here, which we got about 10 minutes left, I'll let everybody go around the horn and mention whatever upcoming stuff or plug anything. So you guys listening that want to know what these guys are doing collectively, individually, whatever, give everybody a chance to shout that stuff out. Time for a few more bands to get called in here. Here's John in North Carolina. Go ahead, John.
Oh, Eddie, I've called in about this band before, and I know how you feel about duos, and they were already mentioned. And thanks for taking my call, first off. The band Crownlands I found during COVID. And I found out about them because Terry Brown approached them about using one of Neil's drum kits for a song that they did. So check out Context Fearless Part 1 has an awesome video, and these guys are real. This is no bullshit. They are awesome. They are my favorite new Canadian band, and they're one of my favorite new bands in the last years, I could say. But
I know who they are, and I've heard them, and I do like them. And I'm kind of half kidding about the two-piece thing, but really only half, because I always just – I can't help myself to look at it as like it's a bit of a novelty, because most of those guys end up, when they play live, having to have two or three extra guys or put stuff on tracks, or we don't
geniuses.
Have a bass player.
Like one,
not these
one,
guys.
Like
not these
so
guys.
Their stuff's
not,
all
it's
live.
Real.
It's all live, and it's two
it's
guys.
Real.
So what instrument is there
absolutely.
Not then? So what instrument – because okay, so you got a drummer –
and sings. The drummer,
the drummer sings.
He's awesome.
And then you have where's the bass if you've got a guitar player?
David Como plays a double neck Rickenbacker bass and guitar and does
cool.
pedal pedals with his feet. You can pull it up totally live on
does
YouTube.
Does he have three hands?
No bullshit with him.
Wow.
Dude, they're awesome. They are
amazing. No, I'm not even trying to be a wise ass. Hold on, but I'm not even trying to be a wise ass. How do you, as a musician, if you have one neck that's a bass, one neck's a guitar, how do you play them both simultaneously?
I just want to really quickly put the guy's Canadian. He's Canadian, so he's probably that much more
talented. Dude, they're badass.
Wow.
They are badass. Just kidding. I cannot hype them enough. I called them out before, Eddie, just because I love them, but I know how you feel about duos. But, man, they are awesome.
Thank you, John, for the call. And I'm not, again, I'm half kidding about that. But
this will be on Blabbermouth tomorrow. You know.
Whatever. Who cares? 40 years I've been dealing with that shit. Whatever. But the thing is that, I don't know how you multitask to that point, but if they're able to do it somehow,
well, there's all
great.
Kinds of technology, too, guys.
But that's my point. Then it too, becomes a whole technology fest, and you're not even hearing a live band. Again, I'm not saying that about that band. I don't know. I'm just saying that I just look at two-piece and think, get a third guy. Trio or woman. Trio or
it's a second
above.
Call about Crownlands, though. We better check them out.
No, I have checked them out. I've heard them. They are a good band. I'm
that's
not
cool.
saying that for
hard
a minute.
Hard to headline an arena, though, with two people.
And it's like,
hold the attention of the audience.
And they'll end, and then when they'll play live, then most of these bands have to add four people for the stage. But
they can't perform when every appendage is doing something.
True, but let's be honest, as we know, most bands that are like a five-piece band, there really is only two people that are making all the money and controlling the whole thing anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
they just dumbed it down.
They're just taking the illusion away.
Oh, my God.
I suppose the Hall & Oates of the world and those kind of things technically are a two-piece as well, but they have a band.
They need a band.
Here's Tony in Victoria. Tony.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Tony.
Great.
Hey, I just, I don't know, I just joined in a little bit later here. Have you guys mentioned Canada's Party Band?
Which one?
Trooper.
Of course, yeah. Well
guys,
played.
That's we're going way back, mid-70s, Thick as Thieves, of course. That was my first album, was Thick as Thieves as a kid, and I really got a kick out of the one with the bullet holes in it as well.
Hot shots.
Yeah.
Boys in the bright white sports car.
Did they make an impact back east, Trooper?
No.
Really?
Well, I know who Trooper is, but no, not as much.
They're legends.
Why were they the party band? Was that the vibe that they put out?
Kinda, yeah, yeah. They were here for a good time, not a long time. That was one of their songs, and they had a lot of hits. I mean,
huge. Raise a Little Hell was their big one.
Yeah, right. Raise a Little Hell. Yeah, you hear that at hockey games a lot. Stuff like that.
Phantom Maria. I mean, they hit it. I thought big on the West Coast. I don't know down in the States maybe, but definitely.
They had a bit of a run. They're another one of those bands. It's one of those interesting conversation where Ray and Smitty, the two original guys, have both retired and replaced themselves, but the band is on the road. So it's an interesting. Mm-hmm. We're all witnessing that in real time, where these bands are kind of going on without original members.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Nobody ends. Thank you,
exactly.
Tony. Nobody ends.
It's Trooper.
Troopers trooping on. How about we go to Don, who is in Regina.
All right.
Hey, Don.
Hello. How's it going there, guys?
Good.
Well, we got the Grey Cup coming up here in Regina in a few days, and I'll be freezing my ass off. But I lobbied to get Age of Electric as the halftime act, but I don't know. It must have fell a few votes short.
Well, you got Tuke, so there you, it seems that you
won either
way. Do you
know that we are playing the Grey Cup? We are playing.
You guys are playing this?
There, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going like in a couple days. Fitz and I are headed to. Please tell me it's not that cold, though, right?
Oh, we're in the -30 wind chill here.
Celsius.
Just to clarify, that's -30 Celsius.
What is the Grey Cup?
It's our Super Bowl.
It's football.
For CFL.
So it's CFL.
Canadian football.
That's huge then, you guys
so
playing that, right?
So it's the Winnipeg Jets versus the Toronto Argonauts. No. Look at this right here.
Winnipeg Jets are hockey.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Thank you.
And the Toronto Argonauts.
Proud of you.
Wait, you're playing it too, Jason?
No, he just made some sort of like...
Because he's from Toronto, he's from Winnipeg. Yeah. I want them to argue and arm wrestle. No.
But that'd be... You guys playing like the halftime show?
No, we play the...
We are doing the tailgate.
The party stuff.
And we have a huge... The night before, like in a convention place. It'll be thousands of people. So we have
great.
A couple of
come on
there.
By. It's at Ryderville, they call it.
All right, Don, what's your band? Because I'm running out of time.
My band's Svengali. And
that was the other one I was thinking.
They were called the Canadian version of Skid Row. They came out, I think, a little bit after Skid Row, but they had a big hard-hitting song called Under the Influence.
Yeah, I love that first record.
You guys are familiar with them at all, huh?
Solid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Produced by David Bendith.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Well, I don't know that name.
He went on to produce.
I think he did some of the Brighton Rock records, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Don, thanks. I got to run. I'm short on time. I want to get one or two more quick ones in if I can. Here is Justin, who is in Ontario. Justin.
Hey, gentlemen. I've seen Rage Against the Machine a bunch of times back at Rock the Bell in California and also Montebello in Quebec, Ontario, or Quebec, Canada. I'm calling about Harum Scarum. And they were a great rocker band back in the day. And then also they morphed into live sex show and continued to tour throughout the late 2010s, guys. Checking out. Thanks for all you do.
Wow.
Thank you, Justin. The drummer in that band was the singer with Jakey Lee.
Correct, right.
On some of the tracks on Jake's first record.
They probably draw a lot of people into their show when they're called live sex show.
Exactly, for sure. Let me see if we can do one more here. Let's go to Alabama. This is Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Good, sure. Steve.
I just wanted to say hi to Todd and Brent real quick. Love what you do with Slash. Saw you guys March in Atlanta at the Roxy.
That was a good one.
What's your band, Steve?
My band is the Sheepdogs. I saw those guys open up for Rival Sons there in Atlanta.
So did I. Yeah.
Oh, did
great
you?
Great band.
Oh,
from Saskatoon. From my neck of the woods, yeah.
I'd give them if you had to, for anyone listening that's like, who are they? They're like the Guess Who.
Yeah, they are.
A modern, like great songs.
Old school.
You know, prairie
kind of
band.
Sound, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rock
music. I didn't know they were Canadian, but I saw them a couple years ago open for Rival Sons
as
well.
I think they made the cover of Rolling Stone.
They were on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Really?
So, yes.
Oh, really?
The U.S. version?
Wow. Yes.
There was some. They did really well.
So it's a special edition of Sebastian Bach.
Special edition of bands that opened for Rival Sons and Rolling Stone. I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for them. All right, look, I could continue this forever, and we'll do another round of this somewhere down the line when everybody's available. But we've got like 2 minutes left. I want to let everybody go around the horn and plug anything they want to plug, because you guys are all nice enough to come in, and I appreciate it. It's totally fun to do this, and we'll have to do it more often. So, Brent Fitz, what do you want to mention or plug? Anything?
Not plugging anything other than, because we're all friends and neighbors here, afterwards I'm going to go to the to Jason's house to play Kiss pinball, and then I'm going to go to Todd's house and play pinball.
Do you have the original Kiss
pinball
both.
Machine? He has both. I have both. Yeah, he has new.
I always wanted the original one, but everyone that I look at, it's all banged up and it's worn out and they don't run right.
Mint condition.
Mine's in really good shape too.
Killing
me.
I
had
it.
Well, yeah.
Jason, your record coming out when? What do you want to, anything you want to push or tell the people for your music?
We're shooting for March, April 2023. It's almost done. I haven't been hyping it too much. I just thought, get the work done, and then it'll speak for itself. But
is it going to be under your own name or a band name?
Well, it's going to be Hook. I didn't even want to call it Hook, but
great name.
All the list of names, like it, nothing really resonated, and everyone was like, dude, you got to call it Hook.
And Live Sex Show was taken.
Right. Well, Free Beer is a good alternative. Right?
Yeah, that's the other one.
Hey, it worked for Bon Jovi.
Bare
you know,
Naked
Bon
Ladies.
Bon Jovi, Hook. Go with the last
right,
name.
Right,
I didn't doubt
go.
It works.
Van Halen.
Just fine. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So maybe new music by the end of the year or everything next year? Maybe a single?
Probably March.
March for everything.
First song, yeah. We're almost done.
When you're ready to go with it, come in.
I am coming in. I'm
we'll
so
play
happy
it and we'll
and excited
get the
about
word
it.
Out for you.
Can I be your really terrible guitar tech?
Yes.
Fired after 3 gigs.
And Todd, you're playing in Rock Vault here in Vegas,
I
right?
am, yeah. I'll be heading out of here to go to work pretty soon. Yeah.
And anything else you want to mention coming up?
We're heading to the Grey Cup in a couple days, The Freezing Cold. Tuke has a new single out called Can't Stop It. And we're just honestly getting ready to go and play in the freezing cold, so it'll be nice.
And we have something for New Year's planned,
and New Year's
too.
Around here with Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the Bruce New Year's extravaganza, right?
Our
extravaganza.
Our band that just recently played on the Kiss Cruise is going to be playing here in Vegas around New
that's
Year's.
Correct.
And that's a public event.
It is, yes.
And that's at the Copa at the Bootlegger, right?
One
behind
of them,
the Bootlegger,
yeah. One of the.
I think it's all safe to say, like, there's a plan, but we're still working it out, you know. And we are going to play a New Year's Eve gig for sure.
Yeah.
And I had Slash on a few weeks ago, and I told him I'd love to see you guys do another run for the 4 record. And he said maybe next year, fingers crossed. So I know that's not your call, but that was a great record. I'd love to see that get another run. So
It feels like that was like 2 years ago, but every now and then I go, that just came out.
Yeah, it's
like,
not that old.
Yeah, it was a few months ago. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Well, a lot of fun there with Jason and Brent and Todd. There's been about 4 or 5 of those Canadian roundtables that I've done on my SiriusXM show, and I don't think I've ever brought you one as a podcast before, so I'm glad to do that for you for the first time, something different. And again, a little peek into what I do every day, Monday through Friday, live on the radio, on Trunk Nation, SiriusXM Channel 103 Faction Talk, live every day, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or anytime on demand on the SiriusXM app. Thank you so much for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Big thanks to Joel Pollack, as always, for producing. Social media at Eddie Trunk. Again, if you're in Houston, I hope to see you this Saturday and Sunday at Rise Rooftop. More appearances on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com. Thank you all. Have a great week. Hope to catch you on the radio, if not, back here next Thursday for another episode of the podcast. Take care.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.